Dervik to the podcast. The podcast where pelvic health physiotherapists Emma Brockwell and Gráinne Donnelly talk to incredible guests who help lift the lid and bust the myths on all things pelvic health.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to At Your Service, the podcast. Emma and I are delighted to have a wonderful colleague and inspiration from across the world, Giselle. I'm going to ruin your surname here, Giselle. Giselle Arney.
Ignore the E. It's just Arney. The E is just in there to confuse you.
Giselle Arney. It's nearly. Yes. Are you Irish in any way? Because Irish names you cannot read in any way or shape or form.
We can pretend for this podcast.
Okay.
I've been told it was maybe Swiss.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, Giselle is a sports medicine physician from across the world, and she's also the founder and creator of the Madam Athlete podcast, which is fantastic and which I've had the pleasure of being a guest on. I met Giselle at AMSSM, which is going to come up a lot. Emma's sick of hearing this term because I met her at a conference in Austin, Texas last year. And since then, I keep bringing on guests.
I feel like I was there.
So Giselle, we're delighted to have you here today. We're going to delve into a whole load of things about being a female professional and working in male-dominated environments. But first of all, can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and anything you want to add in?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that I got to meet you last year at AMSSM as fellow podcasters helping to support women out in the world. So I am a primary care sports med doc. So I did family medicine and sports medicine, and I have been team physician for NCAA D1, for professional women's basketball, for high schools, for sort of everything. I've also been fellowship director at two different sports medicine fellowship programs. So teaching and mentorship is really important to me. And I started Madam Athlete podcast so that I could sort of help support, continue to support women working in sports and athletics in sort of on my own and not, you know, part of being a faculty member or being a teacher formally through a university or hospital system. And so I started Madam Athlete 2.5 years ago. Somehow it's like creeping up on 3 years, and it's been a fun journey.
You're so professionally set up. Listeners at home can't see this, but Giselle has the proper podcasting kit in front of her, and feel like a bit of a novice here as I do. So we're learning, always learning. But
this was me being like, oh, I have a podcast. I have to have all the right things before I can start. So don't be like me. Just start. Don't wait till you have everything perfectly in alignment. This is unnecessary, but fun.
So when I met you initially and you were telling me about what you do, it's not the usual roles and direction of a sports medicine doctor or primary care physician. And sometimes it can be quite hard to pave your own way or carve your own way that's a way different than everyone else. How did you stumble across the path you've come on?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. And it is so hard. And this is part of what I love about the stories that come out on my podcast, because I'm interviewing women about their career journeys. And from the outside, it often looks very like a straight line, like, oh, you obviously wanted to be a sports medicine physician. So you just clearly did everything exactly right from the beginning and knew you wanted to do this. And it all worked out perfectly. But then when you kind of dive into the story, you find all these things that, oh, that didn't work out the way I thought it would, or, oh, this didn't happen the way that I was hoping it would. And you hear all this stuff. And medicine is a very straight line career path in a lot of ways and for a lot of people, and it's presented that way. And so you have to take, for us in the US, we have to take our MCATs to get into med school. You have to get into med school, then you have to apply for residencies and match. And then for me, apply for a fellowship and match. And then it's usually, okay, now go get a job, and it will either be clinical or academic, and the end. And then you just keep doing that forever and ever. And that's what I thought it was going to look like. I thought that's what my career would look like. And my first job, I was hired on where I did my fellowship. And I thought I'd be there for 40 years. I thought I'd be there forever. I had a whole plan of, okay, in 5 years, I'll be the fellowship director. In 10 years, I'll be the head team physician. In 15 years, I'll be president of AMSSM. In 20 years, I will be the editor of BJSM, one of our journals, and I'll just ride out into the sunset. And that was my, like, I had my straight line ready to go. And then 2 years into it, I became the fellowship director and the interim head team physician because the other two team docs left. And so for a year and a half, I did the work of three docs all by myself. And to be honest, I loved it. Like I was full in. It was 24/7. It was probably not healthy, but I was like, this is what I meant to do. And it's happening even sooner. This is so great. And then it just sort of did not continue great. And, you know, and working in these male dominated spaces is sometimes hard. And as a woman, it tends to be tricky to kind of put yourself out there and to negotiate for yourself and to stand up for yourself and to be considered for things versus just like, oh, of course she's going to handle taking care of everything for a year and a half, but that doesn't mean we're going to give her the job at the end of the day. Like, you know, so I ended up leaving UConn to take a head team position job somewhere else. And just even choosing to leave in that moment, it blew my mind. Like I was like, oh God, I thought I was gonna be here for 4 decades. Like, what is this? I was not expecting this career happen, like this path, this twist to happen. And then that job was fairly not great. And I can't get into details, but I left it really quickly. And so I ended up teaching at Central Connecticut State University a couple undergrad classes. And they had a faculty member who fell ill. They invited me in. They knew I was looking for work at that time. And they said, would you mind coming and teaching a couple classes? Like the semester has just started. We really need help. And I was like, sure. I love college kids. Like I'm a team physician. I love these kids. And I had the best time and I just loved it. And I was teaching and I was working with college kids and it was different than being a team physician, but it was still teaching and it was still working with college kids and it was still mentoring. And that was the first sort of inkling I had of this path could look a little different. I could do something different and it would be okay. And I still ignored it. And I still was like, but I have to find a regular job. I have to like be a team physician and fellowship director again. And so I got another one of those jobs, miserable for 3 years. And then when I quit that during the pandemic and I had just gotten the podcast off the ground right as I was quitting. And so for me, that was really helpful to have something else ready that I could dive into. I was quitting no matter what. It was toxic. I needed to get out. I have zero regrets. I didn't have another job lined up. Like I had my podcast, which as you know, is not like a lucrative business. It is not making me millions of dollars. It is not making me thousands of dollars. It is existing. Sometimes it is coming out of my own pocket. But it was a way for me to continue to teach and to continue to mentor and to continue to support women working in sports and athletics, but do it on my own terms. And to build a community and help be, you know, continue to be passionate about the work that I care about, support other women so they don't have to go through what I went through or so that they hear about it ahead of time or learn some tips to navigate it. And that really helped me also to leave that normal path. And once I left it, so what's interesting is that once I left it, that's when I realized so many people do not have a traditional path. So many people are not following that straight line journey. We think they might be from the outside or because we're so stuck down in that path, we don't have our head up looking around. And so we don't know that there's other people doing these other things so that even though they're a physician, maybe they're not seeing patients, but they're still a physician and they're still using all their skills and their knowledge and their capabilities in these other fields. And it was actually really inspiring and kind of eye-opening and going, oh my God, look at all this going on around here. I had no idea. And I had no idea. And it wasn't until I kind of worked my way off that path because I needed to leave a toxic job that I was like, oh, this is there's viable other options of how to be a physician, how to be a sports med doc, how to be a teacher, how to be a mentor. And so it was eye-opening. And so that's part of in the podcast, getting to share these stories of other women's journeys and realizing that you don't have to follow the straight line is, I think, a helpful message for me to keep reminding myself, like, you're good, you're doing fine, just keep at it, but also hopefully helps inspire other women to see some of the possibilities.
How do you find the confidence to think out of the box and not follow that straight line? Because I would agree with you that I like that thought of a linear progression with my career. It hasn't worked out for me. I guess like that, but I don't know. It's quite scary coming away from what you consider to be the norm, isn't it? How did you find the confidence? I understand the pandemic might have helped a little bit with this, but how do you find the confidence to take that different path?
Oh my gosh. I tend to be a very confident person who believes in myself really well, but I but I also tend to be a very type A perfectionist. I want the instruction manual. I want to do it exactly right. Literally like buying the right microphone setup for the podcast. I had to have everything in place first.
Looks good. I'm not going to lie. It looks good.
It was so fancy, but like so unnecessary. But
no, but, it's not.
So I think those two things are, they kind of battle each other because I might believe in myself, but I also believe that like I should be following this path. And so it's hard to see that different option. And for me, it was sort of like getting forced into it, you know, getting that teaching job. That was an accident because I was not working. I was unemployed and that had not been my plan at all. And getting asked to teach was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I could do this. And then at the time I was like, this could be my retirement job. Like I'll still follow the path. I'm going to still get back on the path. Right. But then towards the end, when I'm ready to retire, I'll find some friendly community college. I'll teach a class. I'll work a day in student health. Like I'll just retire out into the sunset. So like I started to see possibilities, but I still was very like, but I have to get back on this path. Mm-hmm. And then leaving that, this last job, it was just a really toxic workplace. Like I was not mentally well working there. I stopped sleeping. Like it was just, I was miserable. And so I didn't leave because I was ready to do something different. I left because I had to leave that place. Mm-hmm. Because survival. I had this in my back pocket, I was like, okay, I'll start working on this. And it gave me something to do and focus on. And it was really, for me, it was like being a little bit pushed into it, if I'm honest, and less like, I'm so brave, I'm going to quit medicine and go do this other work. And I think it's important that I say that because I think folks have some misconception of like, oh, I just was like, screw medicine, I'm going to do this other cool thing. And I was like, oh no, I was like, screw that job, I need to save myself. And this is what like I found and developed. And I think a lot of life is like that. Sometimes you just have to live through it. And sometimes you get forced into that situation. And that's when you realize, oh, I don't have to do this anymore. Or, oh, like I do love this other thing that I didn't even realize. Like I know Grania, right? Getting into pelvic floor physiotherapy. You did not want to do that. Like that was an accident of being forced onto a rotation you didn't want. And then once you did it, you found that you loved it. Right.
Brilliant accident, as you say. And it's nearly that idea of, I love that idea of coming up and actually being able to look around, because when we are in that career pathway or that ideology of what we think it should look like, that's all you see. It's like you can't see all the other stuff. Like, I always think it's like when you're looking for a new car and you want a certain color car, you never seen that car color before, but now you see it everywhere. Like, because that's the one you want.
Yes.
And so it's when you give yourself permission to be able to see something, you can see it. I'm interested to know, when you found yourself, forced as it may be, but you found yourself in a new path and you started to explore that idea of, well, this actually could be something, like maybe I don't need to go back on that career path that I thought. How did you find your colleagues and peers receive that? Or like, what were their thoughts on it? Did they get it? Or were they like kind of surprised?
So it was surprising to me because they were all like, oh, Giselle, like you're so awesome and badass for doing this. And I wish I could do this. And you're so brave. And I was like, whoa, what is going on? Because even having left, I still thought like, oh God, that's the path over there. And I have fully derailed from the path. Like that is the word I would use. Like, it's like, here's the train tracks and I have derailed from this career and I don't know what's happening. And other people would just be impressed and in awe and like jealous and just grateful that I'm doing it and maybe starting to pave a way and maybe starting to show these other opportunities. And so it was, and then just like you said, once you do it, that's when you start to see all the other things. Your brain is just looking for that confirmation bias of like, oh, here's what I'm thinking about. Oh, look, I see it everywhere. That's great. And so I found other sports med docs who had like, you know, one gentleman that I knew, I'd known him since I was a fellow, since before I'd applied to his fellowship program. And I thought he would be a sports medicine fellowship director and doctor until he died. Like, I just thought he'd be in it forever. And he left medicine to go into research. And it's a great fit for him. And it's incredible. But I talked to him and I was like, hey, would you mind talking to me about this? About like, you left medicine and I've left and it was sort of not purposeful, and I don't know what I'm up to here, but And he was like, Giselle, I'm so much happier. And he was the one who was like, I'm still a doctor. Everything that I learned, everything that I'm capable of doing, the way that I think, the way that I process things, the way that I care, the way that I help people, I still do that. And now I'm doing it over in this field. And I'm making a difference as a medical director for this research company. Because I'm a physician, like really because I'm a physician, I'm able to help and do this other work. And it is fantastic. And he was somebody that I never would have thought would have left medicine. But again, once you've done something new, then you start to see it. You start to like look for it out into the world. And so it's been, I don't know, it's really interesting to see all those examples start to crop up in front of your face and go, oh, okay. But I think that's also being one of not the first one, but having a lot of connections, like within AMSSM, within other sports med physicians, and to be somebody who's like, oh, she's off doing her own thing, but we know her. She's one of us. Now I can see it happen. And I could see somebody leave, try something new, do something differently. And it has been received unreasonably better than I ever expected. there's a big ego component to a life, I don't know, but to the career, to being a physician and to being like, oh, how are people going to look at me when I leave medicine? How are other people going to perceive this? And so I was very nervous about that and had anxiety about it. But honestly, everyone that I talked to were just like impressed and were jealous a little bit and just thought it was amazing. And so it was a surprise for me, the response.
Happy ending. That's cool, isn't it? But can you touch upon perhaps some of the barriers, the challenges that you faced within the sports medicine world that perhaps made you change or start thinking about this change in path?
Yeah, it's medicine is very patriarchal. Our society is very patriarchal, right? And so everything from we would get clothing, you'd get gear to wear on the sidelines, right? And I would get man-shaped gear, right? And I am woman-shaped. But they'd be like, here's the default. This is the neutral. Everyone gets this. But when I sit on the sideline in a man's polo or in a man's jacket, I look like a child dressed up and like, I don't look professional. I don't look polished. And so then not only was I not given the right clothing for me, like nobody asked to say, hey, oh, would you like women's clothing or bought women's clothing or were willing to do it. But then I also, when I go out there wearing that man clothing, I don't look professional. I look like I'm swimming around in something or it's just not fitting right. And so then that also kind of sets you up. And so it's even the littlest things like that of not having a polo that fits you correctly to the, you know, at one of my jobs, I came in new and they had asked me to, they knew their department was a little behind and they needed to kind of bring things up to the national kind of standard for being team physician in their athletic department. And I started about the same time as this other young gentleman. We're both, you know, on the younger side earlier on in our career. And he was taking over a different department, not athletics, but a different department in the health system. And that guy was firing people, changing protocols, like hiring new people, doing all this stuff. And everyone was like, wow, he's such a great leader. He's really coming in here and making a difference. And on my side, literally start at the same time, same level of experience, have also been brought in to take over a department and hopefully to like bring it up to standards. They tell me they know that it's not at standards. I'm trying to make like the littlest suggestion and I get all this pushback of we've never done it this way. We can't do it. And like I'm building connections with the deans of diversity. I'm building connections with the orthos. I'm building connections with cardiology about how are we going to do things. And I'm doing all this work. And yet because I'm not really thrilled about my direct boss who has no understanding of what it means to be a sports medicine physician or a team physician and has only even been in student health for 2 years, which is less than I have, if I'm not allowing him to micromanage me with things that he doesn't know anything about, then I'm not a team player. Even though here's everything else I've been doing to build teamwork and to build connections. And it was just really in that moment, especially noticeable because I could across the hall, like I could literally see this other young guy who came in and could fire people, who could make these big changes, who could do all this, just disrupt everything. And he was looked at as being a great leader. And thank goodness they hired him. And I was like barely able to do anything. And I was considered such a problem. And so that job did not last very long. But that good. I think, yeah, I know. Yes, very good. But I think those kind of experiences right off the bat, I was so naive. I just thought if I worked hard, I will get what I deserve. Like I will get what I have earned. I will get the promotion that I should have. I will get that job that I want. If like I do the right work, if I do good, it will be recognized. Mm-hmm. And that is not how the world works. And that is especially not how it works for women. And that was a really hard lesson to learn, like really hard. Cause I think up until then, things have been fine. I was like, maybe it was just high school or college or more coddled that if I worked really hard, I would get that good grade. If I applied for studying abroad, I would get it. If I applied for college, if I applied to med school, I'd get it. If I, got into the residency I wanted. But once I had to really start navigating those politics and not just, did I do well enough on this test to get what I wanted? That's like opened a whole other world that I had no idea existed. And it was really hard. I very much struggled with that. I had a period where honestly, probably I was depressed. I didn't like, we ignore that. We're physicians. We ignore that. But I think that I was like, why am I even bothering? That was a thought that I kept having in my head. If my work doesn't matter, if it's up to politics, if it's up to this patriarchal bro club and how good I am and how hard I work, if it doesn't matter, then why try? And that was like, that almost just fully stopped me in my tracks. Like almost just said, well, great. Nope. Medicine, not for me. Like, why am I bothering? It was really hard. And I don't even know that I have a specific answer for what got me out of that like way of thinking and out of that hole. But part of what I kind of talk about in when I'm working with women and on the podcast is I was looking at all of those things as the promotion or that job title was what mattered instead of, is it the work that I'm doing? Is that what matters to me? And so if my value is mentoring young women in their career, I don't need that job title to do that. That doesn't mean it's not bullshit. Excuse me. I don't know if I can swear. It doesn't mean that
we're X-rated.
Excellent. Right. It doesn't mean that's not bullshit if I don't get that job for some sexist reasons, but it doesn't mean I'm the failure. It means that system is a failed system, but I can still do my work. So I can still mentor early career women through my podcast, through my course. And I don't need anybody else to have any say in that. Right. And if I apply for a job and don't get it, it's not necessarily how good I am. Starting to realize like it's their politics. It's what they're looking for. It's when I apply for a head team physician job and they hire somebody straight out of fellowship instead, then that sense I got in the interview that director of student health wants to micromanage and be in charge of things, that was correct because she's hired a newbie who doesn't know any better to be a head team physician, which is completely inappropriate. But that wasn't the place for me. I wasn't going to survive or thrive there. And so it took, a lot of time to kind of let that sink in, to be angry about the patriarchal system and to not let that be, I give up. To not let that be. So it's why bother? But this is what matters to me over here, helping to support women, helping to encourage, helping to teach, helping to mentor, helping to have ideas. Like these are things that are my values and I can still do that, title or no. And I can still be mad at the patriarchy when it doesn't help me out and have those like kind of two thoughts at the same time.
So how do you survive and thrive in that sort of system? What advice do you give women who want to stay within the system and change it and be part of it?
Yeah. So I think for me, that network piece was the most important. And so going to AMSSM, meeting all these other women who are in similar spaces and going, oh, I'm not alone. Right. And so, at my jobs, I was the only woman sports medicine physician at most of them, all of them. And it's very isolating. And so it was not just going to AMSM and meeting other women sports medicine physicians, but also talking with my women athletic trainers and my women PTs and my women sports psychologists, my women strength and conditioning coaches, and the other women who are in the world of athletics that I was in, who understood how things worked and who could just validate me and support me and be there for me and that I could hopefully, do back for them. And having that network is so important, especially when you're isolated. And they have some really interesting research about this, that we all know that for your job, for your career, having a network is important, but women need a different network than men. It doesn't matter just to have it be a diversified network with lots of people you know at different companies. Women actually very specifically need an inner circle of other women that are at different jobs, at different locations, but they need a core group of women. And if you have that core group of women that aren't like you're just besties that you're just, you know, seeing every day, but you're like a network, you know, a little spaced out from you, that you actually do a lot better. You have less imposter syndrome and you have more success in your job and you have more, you know, chance for promotion. And if that's what you want. But so having that kind of core group of inner circle of women is really important. And so that is something that I talk to other women about. And I think when they come and talk to me, when they're in my course, when they're coaching, I think one of the things they get the most benefit out of is seeing other women who are going through the same stuff and going, oh, I'm not alone in this. Like, it's not just me. That's the other thing, is it sort of goes, that's part of where imposter syndrome comes from. When you look around you and nobody looks like you and you're being excluded and other people are getting the promotions and other people are getting praise for the stuff that you're being told that you're like a problem for, like, it's hard not to internalize that messaging and go, I guess I don't belong. I guess I'm not good enough. I guess like, I just can't figure this out. I can't hack it. But when you get to talk to other women and you go, oh, wait, you're dealing with this too? Oh, wait, you've seen this? Oh, wait, like, so it's not us. Like, we are collectively all dealing with this crap. It's a system. And so it can help fight off that imposter syndrome piece as well.
This is so many comparables to a discussion we had with Joe Turner, including about like comparison, competition and different things that can typically actually, so we're talking about the difficulties of females within male-driven environments, but within female populations, there can also be a lot of competition between women. Yes. And women looking to drag each other down and maybe not being the type of people who look across and go, huh, fair play to her. That's fantastic what she's doing. It's nearly the opposite. And so that's something that has taken me a while to think, to kind of focus on my own stuff and not worry about what other people are doing or saying. But do you find that, like, would that be anything? I imagine to be a female in a sports medicine environment, there has to be some get up and go and a little bit of like confidence in some degree, but also competitive streak. So I am sure there's bound to be times when you have met someone who has been a competitor rather than being a friend.
Unfortunately, yes. It is really common. We call it queen bee syndrome, where there can be only one. Right? It's not enough that you're competing for your own job, but you're pushing other people down. And we see this for women. We also often see this in underrepresented minorities, where if you're the only one, this is another like phenomenon that's happening of, if I know they're only hiring one, instead of going, let's all get in here and help bring the whole group up. Let's get more up in here. And I have dealt with that. And I think that the hardest part was, I was expecting, you're a woman, you should get it. Like, I assumed you'd be on my side. And when you're not on my side, and like, and I would give you the benefit of the doubt for way too long. And then when I find out you've been undermining me, we've been like, do it. Like, it hurts. Like, it really hurts. Cause, you know, from the men I was expecting that from you, I was not. I thought you would be on my side. And so it kills me when that happens. I think that comparison piece plays into it, right? Because I think that the women who do that often have that mentality of there can be only one, but often I also think that they're probably not that confident in themselves and they don't believe in themselves. And so they see other strong, competent, capable, confident women as threats and as somebody who makes them feel less or look less because they're already struggling with their confidence. And this is part of another imposter syndrome piece that I teach about, is not getting into that comparison game. And one of the ways you can avoid that comparison game is, you know, and taking this back to that values, like when you know your values and what matters to you and what you want to do in the world, you and I might be sitting right next to each other. As you're a sports med physician, I'm a sports med physician. You really care about diversity within representation of sports medicine. And you are like, it matters to you that we have team physicians and athletic trainers and physios that physically just represent our athletes, right? And we don't. And so that's like your focus. And I'm sitting here right next to you, same department, same everything. And my interest is in ACL jump landing mechanics and preventing ACL injuries in young girls. And so I'm doing research and I'm publishing and I'm putting this out here. And you could look at all of my publications and feel bad about yourself and then start to feel threatened by me because I'm getting all these publications and maybe I'm now associate professor, maybe I'm now full professor. And you're just sitting here like, oh God, what is Giselle doing? She's doing all this stuff. I suck, right? And you're sitting over there crushing it and you're making DEI measures at the hospital. You are making sure that you've improved our rate of bringing in underrepresented and excluded groups into sports medicine. And so the department has grown and we've done these great things. And maybe you're mentoring high school students and they're now going into medicine because you made a difference. Like you're having an awesome impact and it's just different. Like we're just doing different things. And so I think when you can focus on what matters to you, your values, what's your mission in life? What is your mission in this field? Then it's easier to go, man, like check out Grania. She's just crushing it and bringing this like pelvic floor physiotherapy knowledge to the world and making this awesome. And I don't have to feel bad because her podcast has more downloads than my podcast, right? Like I can be like, she's kicking ass and doing these great things. And Emma's kicking ass and doing these great things. And their podcast is unreal. And everybody, I mean, you're already listening to it, but you should be listening to it. You should tell more people to listen to it because it's so good, right? And I'm working on a different bandwidth and I started at a different time and I have different resources and like, and we don't have to compare. We can support each other and lift each other up and be on each other's podcasts and be excited for each other. That is the world that I would love to see for women. And I think, you know, it comes a little bit down to that confidence piece within our own selves and how do we believe in ourselves and not let others' accomplishments make us feel less than by recognizing those aren't the ones that I wanted in the first place, or maybe they are the ones I wanted in the first place, but they had different resources and different support and different ways to get there than I have. And my journey is just going to be different and it's going to be my journey, but like, am I doing good on my journey? Like, okay, great. Awesome.
I love that. There's like so much in that that I think no matter what background, what part of the world, what area you work in, we can all relate to this because these sort of themes pop up in every walk of life. Yes. And I think that it is that aspect of finding your mission and finding your goals and kind of keeping aligned to yourself and not looking about what everyone else is doing, because that's comparison's the thief of life. You know, it's a saying for a reason. And it is those little things. But I also think that like, impact and doing good and the measurement of that is all relative too, and it's all different depending on what you're looking for, because like there's no point having, like, you know, people look and they get fixated on figures and different things too, but figures are only good if you've got a focused audience or an engaged audience. You can have a very large non-focused audience, so that but superficially that looks like, whoa, that's brilliant, but it doesn't actually make any impact or change. So it's all about being very true to what you want to get out of it and thinking, am I getting some of the things we want to do? And like me and Emma have this talk all the time about our podcast too. And even like we can see the engagement in our local area and in the world that we live in and in physiotherapists and different health professionals listening to it. And we'd get told regularly, but we're not making number one on podcast charts and things, you know what I mean? So then like, and so you could then look at it and go, gosh, we're a really small fish, like whatever. But it's all like, well, are we achieving what we want to achieve? Yes, we are.
Yeah. And are you making a difference? Yes, you are. Right. And like, I don't need half this population to listen to my physio pelvic floor therapy podcast. Right. But, you know, I'd struggle with the same thing of you just look at the download numbers and it's like, oh, did I get more or less this week? And how am I doing? And like, oh, these numbers are crap. I'm not number one on the charts. I'm not number 10 on the charts. I don't know what I am on the charts, but it's not up there.
I'm not on the chart.
I might not be on the chart. But like when I go to AMSSM and a random young woman comes up to me and is like, Giselle, I listened to your podcast and I'm just like so excited to meet you and I want to go into sports medicine and I just like thank you for doing this and it helps me. Like, I'm like, great. I've helped one person this year. I am good. Let's keep going. Like, it just, that's what matters. That's what makes a difference.
Let me tell you that your reputation preceded you. So before we connected, the reason that I was so like, I have to find this person is because so many people came up to me and were chatting, and people, because there was a real hunger for female health and well-being at that particular conference. It was brilliant.
I got talking
to loads of people, and everyone was like, you need to speak to Giselle. She does the Madam Athlete podcast. And I was like, all right, okay. And they're like, she's here. And I think you must have been doing podcasts at the conference, were you?
No.
Oh, because people are like, you need to record something with her. So I presumed you were somewhere with a booth somewhere.
I need to
find her. So then anyway, I met someone else and they say the same thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So then I was like, this girl's famous. Like, I need to find her. But I was like, so you had such an impact. Like, I seen that. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, everyone's talking about this girl and I need to find out who she is. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
very nice.
I think it's really hard though in our society I think our society drives competition. You know, if you look at, let's just social media, okay,
yes. It's
easy target, but the reality is it is all on paper about numbers. And it's interesting, I was speaking to a really lovely GP who I did a little collaboration with on Instagram the other week. And we thought it was going to fly because we both got a few followers on our Instagram. And we thought, oh my goodness, this is good. And I remember the day we released it, because normally when it goes well in that first few hours. When we released it, I messaged her and I went, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. I think I have the Instagram curse at the moment. My reels just aren't, no one's interested. I don't feel I'm making any difference. And the reason I'm on Instagram predominantly is to use it as an educational tool to try and get the word across about the importance of pelvic health to the layman. Anyway, I was utterly gutted that it didn't fly as I thought. And then she framed it in a really nice way, actually. And she just said, look, it doesn't matter, because even if two people have watched that reel and now know that they don't need to put up with urinary leakage, we've won. And you really need to frame it like that. And, you know, I think it all comes down to finding people within your tribe that are going to switch the narrative. And I think it's really easy to immerse yourself around people who are just focused on the numbers.
Yes.
And, well, you know, you didn't get 1 million views on your reel. You know, it's really easy to get carried away with that. And I think sometimes you do need your tribe to pull you back in. You know, Ronya does it for me an awful lot. They're crikey, the poor woman. The amount of times I message her, oh my God, I'm rubbish, I'm this. But finding that tribe is critical to your own self-worth, but to your career as well. And I just wonder, have you got any tips for anyone as to how you may find your tribe?
Yes. Oh, I think it's so important. And that's like that inner circle of women, right? You need it. It's so important. And I think because women, we get it on a different level. It's not to say that you can't have a man as a mentor or a sponsor who would do a great job, but I just think it's, you know, so important. And this is something that I was not great at because I'm an introvert. And so I go to a conference and I'm like, I have to know somebody before we go to that party or before we go to that restaurant. And if there's like seven people at that table, I'm so uncomfortable and hating it the whole time. And actually doing the podcast really helped me grow in a lot of ways of now I just talk to strangers. Now I just like, oh,
I was
great.
Gonna say, I was like, I do not place you as an introvert just because this is how I know you. I was like, really?
Yes. I saw that on your website, like, and I thought, are you an introvert?
I know everyone thinks I'm lying, but like I get home from those conferences and I have to cocoon for days. Like I just can't talk to anybody else. Like I just need quiet and nobody near me. The shyness, maybe the talking to strangers, the going up and doing that, that was tricky. And doing the podcast, we're like, every week I got to have a new guest. Like I better get my shit in gear and reach out to some stranger. And, you know, hopefully it's somebody that somebody else has recommended to me, but sometimes it's just cold emailing people or cold messaging them on Instagram. And, I think finding the spaces where there are like, that's already your space. Right. So AMSSM for me, that's primary care sports medicine physicians. That's my career field. That was like my home base as an organization where I started to get to meet and find other women. And if you are an introvert, if you do struggle with that, if you know one person, then go into that conference and being like, all right, Emma, I need to meet a couple other women. Could you introduce me to like one or two women today that you know that you think are awesome, that you think I would like, and that's all I can handle. But could you just like introduce me to these women and let's like have it be a formal plan of this is what's going to happen. And because that's like you got your buddy system, you're like going with Emma because she's awesome, you know, she's going to take care of you and you'll go meet a new person, but you're not like going to the party where there's 20 women or 100 people. You're going like, we're just gonna, in between lectures, we're just gonna like, Emma's just gonna walk me over and introduce me to Grania, and then I'm gonna be like, oh, Grania is awesome, this is great. And I think that figuring like you meet a bunch of people and you don't start off assuming they're gonna be your people. You start off by assuming like, here's an awesome woman I could meet and get to know. And like, let's just get to know them. And don't put that pressure on yourself that like, this is somebody I need to find for my inner circle. This is going to be my network, my support system. Because sometimes you read people wrong or like, you don't know, or you have to find out. I think kind of like you said, you need somebody who's going to support you for you and not for what they think is the right way to be what you're doing. Right? I don't know if that makes sense. So like you'll sometimes have mentors and sponsors who think the best way to be a sports medicine physician is to be a team physician, to be a fellowship director, to like, you have to be on the sideline, you have to do this. And that's not true. That's just what they think, right? You need a mentor or sponsor who is willing to go, but what does Giselle need? Like, what does Giselle really want in her career? What's going to make her thrive? So that's how I'm going to support her. Even if I'm over here doing this other thing, when Giselle's struggling and being like, oh, I haven't published anything, you're going to be like, that's cool, Giselle. You don't like publishing. Remember that? Remember. That's fine. Remember, you don't love that work. Oh, you're right. Even if like you're a researcher who's published 100 things, like they'd just be like, Giselle, remember, you don't love to publish and you don't need to publish. You are contributing to the world in this other way and you are doing awesome at it. Keep at it. Like, so like those relationships, those people, they take some time to kind of find and to get to know and to be sure that they are supporting you for you. And not, you know, for their own career journey or for what they think is what is important and what matters. You get to be a little selfish about that. You get to be a little selfish about who you let into your inner circle, because we're always so worried about what other people think, right? All the time. We're like, what are you wearing to this event? Like, I can't just like pick my own outfit. And so having these people that you're identifying as your inner circle, as your sponsors, as your mentors, it's important that you're a little selfish in picking people that are going to support you and not what they think or them. And you get to pick and choose.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Finding your someone that's going to champion you genuinely.
Yeah.
And there's such a find, and there's such a rare find, but when you find them, you can't let them go because you're like, I need you in my life forevermore. I think it's fantastic. I love everything you're saying. And if someone were to reach out to you for more support or mentorship from you, would you take anyone from any part of the world, or is it only in America? How does this work for you?
Yeah, so I have a coaching program, the Women's Career Transformation Academy, that's specifically focused for women who are early on in their careers working in male-dominated fields. It has been primarily for women in sports medicine, like sports med, athletic trainers, physical therapists, sports nutrition, just because that's who already knows me. That's who's already in my network. But I've had engineers, I have had lawyers, I've had some other interesting folks. You're welcome to come from anywhere. I only speak English. I am not that smart that I know multiple languages. And I've run that course 4 times. I typically run it in the spring, so usually right after AMSSM. So I normally would be running it right now, but I have taken a personal break because I have started 2 new jobs and life is a little hectic. And that's been an interesting thing on my own to say, all right, I'm temporarily putting this down and I'm doing that on purpose. It was really hard and it took me a very long time to, like, I knew the whole time that I didn't have bandwidth for it, but it was really hard to officially say, this is definitely not happening. See you in the fall. But anyone, reach out, say hello. I'm also just, you know, friendly when I look on Instagram. I've I've taken my own step back from social media because I get way sucked into it and the comparison game is hard. And so, but that's where I'm most easily able to be found.
Amazing. And what's the new role then that you've taken on? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So you remember I told you that I taught those two classes at Central Connecticut State University. That was like happy accident. Also that faculty member recovered and is healthy and well. So that's very good. But, I had just the best time and it was such a surprise. And then years later, the woman who was the department chair is now the provost of the university, and they are starting a new College of Health Sciences, and they want to build a student-run free community clinic so that the students could, you know, have an educational experience right on campus and get to help the community members where the school is located and to kind of build a partnership. And so she reached out and she recruited me and said, "Hey, Giselle, we want to do this. And I know that you are, you know, a physician. We need a physician, but you also really care about teaching. And we know that you're really good at teaching because you taught here and our students loved you. And would you come back and would you help us build this clinic?" And I think that was incredible. It made me feel so good. But I think that's also sometimes a lesson in your career. You do good work and sometimes it does not work out right away at all and you don't get what you want, but sometimes you've left a nugget for people to like remember you by so that opportunities down the line, 5 years, 10 years later, somebody's like, "You know, we're doing this new thing and I just remember that girl and she would be perfect for this. Let's just see if she's around and see if she's available." So sometimes your work is noticed well after the fact and it can come back to you in a good way. So I've started that. We're building it from scratch. It's going to be centered around exercise as medicine and sort of fitness and wellness. And it's a really fascinating puzzle and challenge and overwhelming, but also really kind of awesome. So that's what's been keeping me busy these last couple of months and will be keeping me busy for a little while.
That's so exciting. And I think that message about like things maybe don't always happen right then and there when you think you're going to have the result or the impact or the outcome, but usually things come. And like that's actually, I was thinking of your reel during that, Emma, that you don't know, like down the line you're going to hear something, do you know what I mean, specific to that reel that you think that frustrated you with the response. So I think it's all about, as you say, sticking to what your beliefs and what the intention was out of it. And if you got what your intention, great, and let's see where that leads as time goes on. I think there's so much reframe, and I think everyone listening to this will already be taking away things that they can start to work on and implement into their lives. And I'd say anyone who wants to learn more, we'll have Giselle's contact details within the show notes and a link to her website, and you can take a deep dive. I think it's been so exciting. I think all the stuff you're doing is really, really, really key. And you're being that representation where people can see what you're doing and it might inspire them, because it's kind of like when you were talking about how now other people can see you do it, then that's someone they identify with and they may be thinking if they've got itchy feet or the traditional course isn't for them, they can look and be inspired. It made me think the same thing of what we go through all the time, Emma, in terms of the new era of mother athletes. Like before, people retired from their career because they didn't see people do that and go back to sports. So you just didn't do it. In order to have kids, you ended your career because that's what happens. But now suddenly you're seeing people do it and come back, and suddenly more people are like, "I can do that." And so it's that representation, and that gives people that hope and that want to pursue. So really, really well done. And I look forward to seeing what Giselle does moving forward. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are doing amazing work and I am honored to just be a little teeny part of it here.
Oh, wise up. You're one of the key players. And come on, we'll be really, really chuffed sharing this episode. And as I say, it'll build on previous episodes that we've put out in previous series that have similar themes, but in different ways. And that's what I love. I love when conversations build on each other. So really excited about this. Mm-hmm. Thanks again. And let's keep in touch.
Thanks, Giselle.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your questions and feedback. And of course, if you love the episode, please leave a review and tell your friends and family all about the podcast. You can contact us on Instagram @@yourcervix_thepodcast or Twitter @@yourcervix_PM. Gráinne and I are really looking forward to catching up with you next week.